Critter of the Week with Nicola Tookie from the Department of Conservation. Hi, Nicola.
Afternoon, Jesse. How are you?
Great. And this is your weekly reminder, listeners, to buy your Critter of the Week T-shirts if you haven't done so yet.
Yeah, I got in quick because the last 2 years I have been like ordering them at 5 to midnight.
Same.
On the last day.
Same. It's just human nature, right? Particularly anyone who's been a university student before. What's the hurry?
Yeah, that's right. What's the hurry? And then go, oh no, it's today. So, Hunter are getting new Critter T-shirts. My husband assures me he has enough now. So
beautifully designed T-shirts drawn, native critters drawn by Giselle Clarkson. Proceeds go to a good cause. They're ethically made. Nothing to complain about, really. You can check them out via rnz.co.nz/Jesse. How's your week been?
What I've been thinking about is that, you know, often it's the way, and particularly in an outfit like the Department of Conservation, where you go into the work because you want to be outside, you know, doing all the things, saving the nature. But then the more passionate and the more experienced you get, you know, you get offered chances for promotions. And so the higher up the food chain that you get, the less time you spend out in the nature.
I mean, I think that's true of all jobs, right? The better you get, the less of the actual job you end up doing. You just start managing people and overseeing budgets.
That's right. Driving a desk, right? And so that is largely what I do, although I am very privileged. It's not you know, we do have, I would reckon we could give the New Zealand Police a run for their money with better work stories because, you know, you still get to go out and see quite a lot of it. But, yeah, that is sort of the tragedy of the more driven you are to be successful in an organisation, the more time you spend behind a desk. However, I am really blessed because over the past week, I've been getting these little updates from the field. Like, so my rangers in the field have been spontaneously just texting me to tell me that they've found 5 new orange-fronted parakeets in a place they didn't think that they would be. And another one was a photo of the Castle Hill buttercup, which I'm sure we've talked about on Critter before, saying, and the text was so cute. It said, 2020 may have been a bit of a year, but, you know, this is some good news from the Buttercup Reserve. And there was these beautiful 2 new tiny wee flowering plants popping through. And I know that we'd had updates about dotterels doing really, really well out on Kaitaruta Peninsula because of the enormous amount of pest control that's going out on in that place. And it's like there's something really exciting and gratifying about getting these like instant reports from the field about what's going on in the nature.
And kind of, and a credit to you, I think, Nicola, that people see that, you know, when they're out in the job, that I'm going to text Nicola, she'll love this. You know what I mean? You kind of probably give them just the excitement that they need or the enthusiasm that they need.
Totally. And they know that I'll love it, which is partly why they do it. And it is just, it's a constant reminder while you're kind of working through annual budgets and you're trying to work out how to, you know, account for everybody's leave or whatever, you know, doing the kind of day-to-day driving desk business is something really kind of special about. Look, here's a picture of buttercup that's nationally critical and this is the first time they're flowering over here. It's really, really cute. I wanted to also point out that luckily for me, as I've progressed through the department, so too has middle age. So my inclination to not, you know, to go out in the field and traipse around the hills is probably not as high as it once was. So kind of tempt a little bit.
And anyone text you recently having spotted a fairy lantern?
No, but I want one now.
They're pretty, aren't they?
To the team. They're really pretty. So, fairy lanterns are one of those mysterious creatures, which is not a creature, it's a plant, and it's not a fungi, but kind of acts like one. And they're primarily found in the northern part of the North Island. They're also found in Australia, but that's okay. Mm. We don't want them, you know, they like to claim all our stuff, don't they?
That's interesting, though, that it's endemic to both countries, I guess native to both countries. It presumably says something about how long it's been around in the world.
Yeah, that's true. It must be a kind of relic from Gondwana, I expect. The thing about the fairy lantern or Thismia rodwayi is no one knows much about them. In Australia, though, what I can tell you is that, you know, they're trying to work out how these things reproduce, because basically they are this perfect little red and orangey type, and little being the operative word, they're not more than 2 centimetres, little flower that pops out of the soil. But this is a non-chlorophyll plant, so there's no green associated with it. It just like magically appears. And so scientists are really wrestling with, well, how does it pollinate itself, you know? And so one of the schools of thought is, in Australia at least, is that either fungus gnats are stuck inside the little floral tube, and as they kind of, you know, blunder about inside it and come outside, they're traipsing across the pollen. Or that mammals like the potoroo, oh, it wouldn't be pronounced like that, would it? The potoroo, which is like one of Australia's weird little marsupials, which feeds on the roots in the fungus under the ground, could serve as pollinators, or possibly even the superb lyrebird. But here in New Zealand, I think we're not as certain, other than we know that it is a plant that basically is non-photosynthetic. So what it does, because all plants need energy, most plants get their energy from the sun, and that's why they've got green leaves through chlorophyll. But the fairy lantern basically nicks energy from fungi that's in the leaf litter alongside it in the forest floor.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool.
It is. I think maybe once or twice on Critter of the Week we've come across species that do this, but it's so anti the natural order of things, isn't it? So unusual in the world of nature.
It is. I mean, there's something similar, but it is a there's the parasitic flowering plant, which is the dactylanthus, or
yeah,
the wolf rose.
That's what I was thinking of.
You know, which the bats love. And actually, Zealandia just did an amazing translocation of dactylanthus seeds into that sanctuary. I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And so, yeah, they don't often kind of appear, there, these little anomalies in nature, but this one in particular is very pretty. So the flower is quite small. It's only up to sort of nearly 2 centimetres long. It's on like a tiny little stalk that might not even be, you know, 1 or 2 centimetres, and it lives in the forest floor. It's only been recorded in the North Island, so in and around Hokianga Harbour, Waipoa, Trouncen, through the kind of reserves up there, and then down into Taumarunui, Turuwa. Do you know Ketatahi Springs?
No.
So near there, that sort of central North Island, and it's found, you know, some sort of species like this are associated with particular tree or shrub species. This is found throughout. It's not a specialist. And it can be found right from the coastline up into sort of the hills. So it's something that we think is naturally uncommon, but it might just be that we don't have our eyes on the prize.
Yeah, they're pretty small, aren't they?
They are tiny. But if you do see one, get into iNaturalist and take a picture and upload it, so that you know, all the nature nerds out there can you know, confirm it and make reference to it, and you know, all that cool stuff that happens. It is a really, really cool plant. Mostly we don't know kind of the whole life cycle of it yet, but I do also want to point out for those, you know, keen gardeners out there, that it won't grow in cultivation.
Yeah.
So there is no point trying to remove it from the wild, even though we would all know that would not be the right thing to do anyway.
All we can do really is protect the habitat where we can, protect those forests. And I see here that it flowers beginning in November. So over the next month or two, it'll be a great chance to get out and about and look for the thing.
Absolutely. I'm going to go and have a look on my iNaturalist app, Mataki tile, because I reckon that there must be accounts of them on there. So I'm going to go and have a nose and see where people live.
But you're on the wrong island.
Well, no, yeah, but I can have a look at other people's pictures, can't I?
Okay.
But it is a really beautiful, I know we're supposed to talk about the yucky things, and in some ways it is kind of yucky because it doesn't have any chlorophyll, it steals energy from fungi around it, but it somehow in doing so produces a physical presence that is very cute, and it was for obvious reasons called the fairy lantern. If you look at one of those photos in particular, it just looks like a fairy just got home late from a party and dropped their lantern on the floor on the way into their house.
Would I be right that you wouldn't necessarily see it just sort of wandering along the forest? You'd actually have to clear a bit of leaf litter away to have a look at the thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is sort of existing in that kind of layer, that leaf litter layer. I mean, if you were a short-tailed bat, for example, or a pika-pika, you would probably come across them fairly regularly while you swam through the leaf litter of an evening. But yeah, and you just have to kind of have your eye in. And I don't know about you, I haven't quite brought myself to watch David Attenborough's new series yet because I'm bracing myself because I know I'll probably start crying in the middle of it
Yeah, we
if
started with
there's
the
a
kids
first
on the
billion
weekend,
credits.
actually. It was moving, but it was worth doing.
Yeah, and so he talks a lot about one thing I did watch, which I think they did as a promotion, was they had like David Beckham and Billie Eilish and a whole lot of stars asking David Attenborough via Zoom, questions about the environment, and one of the cast of the Netflix show Sex Education sort of said, we live in an urban environment, we're really worried that young people in particular have become disconnected, and what would you say? And he just kind of like went down this amazing David Attenborough tangent about how beautiful the little things in your backyard can be, and so highly encourage everyone to pay attention to the small things around us.
I'm looking at some other images of it. I don't have our images in front of me, but I'm looking at some of the images online. And you know what they remind me of, these little things? Ewoks. They've
They
got
do look like an Ewok.
the sort of the same shape as an Ewok. They've got little hoods, and then if some of them have what look like little ears as well.
They do look a little bit like an Ewok. I mean, not. I'm a Star Wars aficionado. I'm just saying they don't look 100% like an
I want to
Ewok.
believe it too much.
There is some passing resemblance. Maybe an Ewok in a Halloween costume.
Okay. Nice to chat to you. Oh yeah, we'll have to do a Halloween special next Friday. For now, Nicola Tookie, thanks so much. Would you please rate the attractiveness of the fairy lantern on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's too cute. I'm giving it a 7.5, and you can't stop me.
Great. Nice to talk to you. Have a neat weekend, and we'll see you in a week's time.
Thanks, Jesse.